what is the greatest name in communications?
The Columbia Broadcasting System, Andy.
Well, how do you like that? That's the network we is on.
The Amos and Andy Show, written by Joe Connolly and Bob Mosier, transcribed and featuring Ernestine Wade, Amanda Randolph, Johnny Lee, Will Wright, Joe Kearns, Charlie Cantor, Roy Glenn Sr., Lud Gluskin's music, yours truly, Harlow Wilcox, and starring radio's all-time favorites, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll. Amos and Andy! When the kingfish got home tonight, he found his wife, Sapphire, and her mother waiting for him. And from the tension in the air, the kingfish knew something was up as he came in the front door.
George, is that you?
Come in here. We want to talk to you.
Oh, something's wrong. That's the same tone of voice that Indian barber used when he turned to General Custer and hollered next. Well, good evening, girls. What is it?
George, 2 weeks ago, we gave you $100 to pay the rent. Did you give it to the landlord?
Well, why do you ask me that?
Because when we got home today, there was a dispossessed notice on the door, the gas was turned off, and the electric company done defrosted our refrigerator from the main office.
What did you do with that money?
Well, now, I'm going to tell you the truth, the absolute truth. You see, I
hurry up, Baldy. If you want to tell the truth, tell it.
Well, don't rush me, Mama. I'm an amateur in this field.
All right, George. What happened to the money?
Well, I was taking a shortcut down the alley behind the lodge hall when a fella come out of the shadows and he stuck a gun in my ribs and he say, your money or your life, so I...
Wait a minute, George. A man robbed you in that alley when you lost the car payment money.
And a man robbed you in that alley when we give you the money to pay the installment company.
Yeah, well, that's his territory. I will tell you that he robbed me so much we is on a first name basis now. It's Georgie and Creepy. I didn't use that alley for 3 nights and the poor fella started sending me get well cards.
Well, George, I don't know what you've done with that money, but the landlord is coming up here in a few minutes for his rent and you better tell him something.
Oh, now, don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'll get the dough. Now, don't worry about a thing. Yeah?
Well, Stevens, I'm glad I found you home.
Oh, Mr. Landlord, you come up to wish me a happy Halloween, huh? I notice you got your mask on.
That's me.
Oh.
I came up to throw you out on the street.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Landlord.
Now, look, Stevens, after I throw you out, I'm going to heave your furniture out. Then I'm going to throw your bags and your clothes after you.
Well, you're really going in for it in a big way, ain't you?
Stevens, you're 2 months behind in your rent. I warned you, if it happened again, out you'd go.
Well, now listen, couldn't you give me a little more time? Even the warden gives the victim time to get comfortable in the chair before he throws the switch, you know.
Now look, I'm going away over the weekend. When I get back, if that $100 isn't in my mailbox, out you go.
Yeah, sir, I'll send it to you. And by the way, Miss Landlord, would you mind turning on our gas? Turn it back on for us. It's been shut off now for a week.
Oh, no. It'd be just like you to kill yourself and cheat me out of my rent.
Kingfish, why is we working on this old car of yours?
Well, Andy, like I told you, I got to raise money for the landlord. I'm going to get this old car fixed up and sell it. It ain't no 1954 Cadillac, but I ought to get $100 for it. I think this baling wire and this scotch tape will hold the carburetor on there. Now, let's start it up and see how it sounds, then.
Okay.
All right, I'll start it up here, Andy, and you go around the back and watch the exhaust. You can always tell the condition of the motor by what comes out of the exhaust pipe.
Okay, start her up. I'm watching.
All right, here we go. Come on.
Kingfish, I got a feeling this car ain't been running a long time.
Why, Andy? What come out of the exhaust?
A mouse.
Good, Andy. Let me get out here. Up to Daisy. Hand me that door, will you, Andy?
Yeah. Okay, there you is.
Yeah, now look here. This time you get in there and start the thing up. And while it's running, I'll adjust the carburetor. Let me get my wrench on it here. Yeah. All right, Andy. Okay, Andy, turn it over.
Okay.
Cut her off, Andy, cut her off.
Say, Kingfish, you ain't got no hog wallah in the back seat, did you?
Start off again. It needs a little more adjusting.
Okay, here goes.
All right.
Holy mackerel. Was that the motor?
No, that was me, and I got my hand caught in the fan belt. Oh, listen, Andy. We done passed it up the best we can. Let's get it down to some used car dealer before it falls apart.
Okay, I'll start it up again.
All right, let's go, Andy.
There we go.
All right. I'll hold both the doors. And you drive with one hand and hold the windshield on with the other.
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to get down there before we lose too much. Come on, let's go here. Well, we're back at the lodge hall here. Pick up that door again, will you? You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. I ain't never been so insulted in all my life.
Yeah, I know they call that used car dealer Smiling Harry, but he didn't have to laugh in my face.
Yeah, let's get on in the lodge hall here. You know, the thing that burned me up was that junk dealer we took it to, telling us to get it out of there before we spoil the appearance of his lot.
Yeah, he had his nerve knocking the car like that. You don't find an automobile like that every day. A 1926 Essex with a Willis Knight body and a Rickenbacker rear end.
Oh, I tell you, Andy, I got to find some other way to get the money for the landlord. You know, maybe I could...
Hey, wait a minute, Kingfish. Look. Look out the window there. Look quick.
Hey, what's the matter, Andy? What's up?
Well, look at that. That fellow's getting in your car. Look like he's trying to steal it.
Holy mackerel, Andy. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he's trying to do. Andy, you watch out the window there while I get the police on the telephone.
Okay.
Operator, operator, give me the police. The police, quick. Oh, I forgot to dial.
Kingfish is trying out some kind of keys in the ignition.
Operator, the police station, quick, quick. Oh, me, trying to steal my car. And I think I only got it insured for $100. That's all it's worth, Operator, hold the phone. How's he doing out there, Andy?
He got a key in the ignition, but he can't seem to get it going. What must we do?
Well, don't just stand there, you dummy. Get out there and show him how to start the thing.
Hey, look, look, look. He got it started, Kingfish. He's pulling away.
Hello, what's that, operator? Should you connect me with the police station? No, not just yet, operator. The thing might stall on him. How's he doing, then?
He's picking up speed, Kingfish. He just went around the corner.
Operator, you can cancel the call.
Kingfish, why you do that? If you report it to the police right away, he might catch the fellow before he gets out of town.
Yeah, well, I thought of that, Andy. Get out the paper. We're going to sit down and write the police a nice, long letter. That's what we're going to do.
United States Series E savings bonds are now better than ever. Invest $3, get back $4 in less than 10 years. Start saving the automatic way today. Join the payroll savings plan where you work or the bond a month plan where you bank today.
Well, Andy, what a break like that worthless car getting stolen, and I got it insured for $100.
Yeah, but why is you dragging me downtown with you like
that? I was going in here to the insurance company and report the loss of my valuable automobile. And to make it look real legitimate, I even put an ad in the newspaper offering $100 reward. You see, that's proof that I did that and lost it.
Oh, yeah, reward, huh? Hey, listen, this ain't a very nice building here. It looked like a Alcatraz annex if ever I seed one. Kingfish, is you sure that's a good insurance company?
Oh, certainly, and one of the big ones. Look right there on the policy. The Amalgamated Insurance Company of East St. Louis, incorporated under the laws of the Republic of Guatemala. There it is. Right there.
Hey, here's the office right here. Look on the door. Uh-oh.
What's wrong, Andy?
Well, I have seen insurance companies with the Liberty Bell for their insignia, and I see them with the Rock of Gibraltar for their insignia. But this is the first insurance company I done ever seen with a rattlesnake for a trademark.
Well, it is a little different there. Well, let's get on in here and put in the claim.
Kind of a small office they got here, Keefe.
Yeah, well, here comes the fellow over now. He looks friendly enough.
Oh, good afternoon. May I be of some help to you?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's about a policy.
Oh, well, we have some excellent policies here. We give complete, thorough, and courteous service, open 24 hours a day. Always ready to serve. Now, what kind of a policy did you have in mind?
Oh, no. We don't want to buy no policy. I'm here to file a claim.
You're here to file a what?
Okay, please. I think this is the boy that posed for that trademark.
Look here, Mother. I got the policy here, and my car was stolen, and they say I was covered.
Let me see the policy.
Here it is right there. See right there in the big print, black and white, that I was covered. There it is right there. Look at the thing down
there. Yes, yes, so it does. I wonder how we let this one get out.
Well, I know my rights. Say that we is covered. This happens to be a blanket policy and covers everything that was in the car when it was stolen. And my wife's mink coat happened to be in the glove compartment, so there.
Yes, according to the big print, you're covered, but let me get my magnifying glass out here. I'll squint at the small type on the back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. I see here through the magnifying glass that personal property is not covered unless it's stolen from the car while it's going at least 45 miles an hour.
Well, it looked like we got to find a crook with greyhound blood in him.
Now, look here, Mother. Never mind about the personal property. I waive all that, but you say in the policy that my automobile was insured for $100, and the thing was legitimately stolen. I even offered a reward in the newspaper. Unless I get a check for $100, I'm going to get a hold of my lawyer and have him sue you.
In Guatemala?
Guatemala. Listen, I either get my money or I go into the insurance commission.
That's telling them, Kingfish.
Well, if you want to get nasty, we'll investigate the claim. If it's on the level, you'll be paid the $100.
Yeah, that's more like it. You got my address.
Yes, very well. But I'm warning you, if this in any way turns out to be a fraudulent claim, we'll prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, wait a minute. There ain't no fraudulent claim. My car was stolen. I got a witness right here to prove it.
Yeah, we sat by the window for 10 minutes and watched the crook steal it. Oh, yeah.
Now, wait a minute, Andy. You can't come into my office and try to tell me nothing like that. What you was telling me couldn't have happened.
Kingfish, it done happened, I tell you. When I was coming down to the lodge this morning, I seed your car parked over on Lenox Avenue.
Now, wait a minute, Andy. You couldn't have seen my car there.
It sure was, Kingfish. And I ain't going to be a party to nothing dishonest, neither. I seed that car with my own two eyes.
Oh, yeah. I see what you done seed now, yeah. What you seed wasn't there when you seed it, you see. In other words, Andy, you is done seed a mirage. A mirage of the mind.
A mirage? Now, wait a minute here, Kingfish. The only place you see a mirage is on the desert.
No, wait a minute now. Now, just calm down. Let's analyze the thing, Andy. Mm-hmm. What is the desert? An empty, barren space with nothing in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, let's look at your mind. If it can happen in one empty, barren space, it can happen in another, too.
Yeah, I guess you was right there. But a funny thing about this car, I went right up to it, Kingfish, and touched it.
Now, how could I do that if it was just a mirage?
You touched it, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, that's going to be a little more difficult to explain, but I'll go explain it to you. Of course, then, that happened with mirages all the time. I know that.
You do,
huh? Oh, yeah. Now, here's the thing. A fella was out in Arizona, and he was on the desert. And he seed a flying saucer, and it landed right in front of him. Now, a little man, 3 feet tall, got out and shook hands with him and invited him in for an 8-course dinner.
No fooling.
Oh, yeah. Soup, salad, radishes, roast beef, and pie a la Mars.
Oh. He did, huh?
Yeah, and then he didn't realize it was a mirage until 4 hours later.
But what made him realize it then?
When the radishes started repeating on him and they didn't have no taste to them. Then he knows, you see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now that you explain it, Kingfish, yeah, I guess it could happen, all right.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Andy, just between us now, and you know that we as buddies, you ain't told nobody about seeing and feeling this mirage, is you?
Oh, no, I ain't told a soul.
Oh, well, that sounds good, Andy. I wouldn't mention it to nobody, because they are throwing people into Bellevue Hospital for seeing mirages in the city, you know, and I don't want you to get those... This thing is working out fine. As soon as I get that $100 from the insurance company, I can pay the landlord, and then, hello, George Kingfish Stevens speaking.
This is the Amalgamated Insurance Company.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've checked with the police, and your car has been stolen, so we're sending your check for $100 over this afternoon with one of our investigators. He'll be there about 3 o'clock.
The investigator be here with my check at 3 o'clock.
That's right.
That's fine, Miss Amalgamated. Thank you so very much.
But let me caution you again, Mr. Stevens. I don't like the looks of this claim, and if we find anything wrong about it, we'll take immediate legal and criminal action against you. Goodbye, Mr. Stevens.
So long, and give my regards to the Guatemalas down there. That's the Las Vegas and all that stuff. The idea, inferring that there could be anything wrong. Them fellas is,
Hey, Kingfish. Hey, listen. Me and Amos wants to talk to you.
Yeah, we want to talk to you, Kingfish. Oh, Amos and Ender, come in. Sit down, boy.
Listen, Kingfish, I was just over on Lenox Avenue looking at that mirage again. And this time there was a man sitting in it. And he wasn't no 3 feet tall, neither.
Well, like I say, that's a pretty powerful mirage you've been looking at.
Yeah, and something else. This time Amos done see this mirage, too.
Yeah, Kingfish, and I was with him, and I seed the car, too.
That's right.
Not only have we got a powerful mirage here, but we got a contagious one, too. Nothing worse than a multiplying mirage, boy.
Listen, Kingfish, that wasn't no mirage. Now, that was your car.
Yeah, that's right, Kingfish. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and it's right from the heart. Now, listen, Kingfish, when we seed the man there sitting in the car, we both walked up to the man, and we started talking. And I'm going to tell you something. After talking to him, his conscience started gnawing on him for stealing the car. And, well, he ain't never done nothing like this before in his life. And, Kingfish, I got good news for you. We done talked the fella into bringing back your car.
Yeah, now there you is. Now that's what we done.
You done talked him into bringing back the car? Is you crazy? You know I done filed a claim. What in the world is I gonna do? What is I gonna say when the next time Sapphire and her mama see me, I sitting in Sing Sing? How's I going to explain that?
Well, that's all right, Kingfish. You can just tell them the whole place is one big iron mirage.
Oh, you can't. Here comes the fella back with my stolen car. I got to convince him that he should keep it. Well, I shouldn't have too much trouble reasoning with this boy.
I'd like to return a stolen car.
I guess this ain't the brains of the mob. Look here, mister, you can do it.
Do what?
Return the car.
But, mister, I stole it. It's your car, and I want to give it back to you.
You want to return the car?
Yeah.
Well, you got your nerve. What kind of a self-respecting crook is you anyway? Ain't you got no pride in your profession? Ain't you got no honor?
Well, I just... Huh?
disgrace to a noble profession. What are you trying to do, violate the sacred principles of Al Capone and Dillinger?
But, mister, I ain't never done nothing like this before. My conscience is gnawing at me.
Well, if that's the case, why don't you drive the car over to New Jersey and let your conscience gnaw on you over there?
I don't like no judge. Look, mister, won't you please take the car back? Won't you please? I want to go straight. I read in the paper that crime don't pay.
But either don't pay. Pay as good as anything else these days. Even better, there ain't no withholding tax.
Look, mister... Please take your car back, please.
No, sir. You stole it, and you can't play a dirty trick on me and bring it back.
Oh, miss, I want to go straight. You got to take the car back, please, mister. Look, I'll even give you money.
Now, listen, don't try to bribe me, you dirty crook. Ain't you got no principles? The only decent, honorable thing to do is to keep the stolen car.
Well, I guess a fella's got to have principles. But, jeepers, I did so want to go straight.
There ain't no hurry, buddy. Why don't you drive out to California? Get a nice trip for yourself. Then you can go straight in a nicer climate. Yeah, under the orange blossoms and all that stuff. And on top of that, the cops will never spot you in the smog out there. Now you get out of here. I can't waste my time with no crooks.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to figure something else out. So long, bud.
So long. Well, I got rid of that dodo that stole my car. Almost 3 o'clock. That man from the insurance company ought to be here with my check any minute. Oh, boy, this is the easiest thing that
Mr. Stevens?
That's right. That's George Stevens.
My name's Frank Peters. I came to see you about your car.
Oh, yeah. I was expecting you. The phone said you was coming. Sit down, Mr. Peters. Sit down.
Thank you.
Well, everything all set. You got the money and everything?
Yes, I have the money right here in my pocket.
Fine. Now, if you'll just...
Say, Kingfish, did that crook bring your car back yet like he said he was going to?
Well, if it ain't Idiot Brown. You will have to excuse the Idiot. You're always coming in saying things that don't make no sense.
Listen, Kingfish, what is you talking about?
Look, I know you was irresponsible, but I don't think it's any time to be irresponsible in front of a man who is from the Amalgamated Insurance Company of East St. Louis, who is about to hand me a check for $100. Did I get across to you, Idiot?
Roger.
Just a minute. I think there's a misunderstanding here. Do you think I'm from an insurance company?
Sure, you're from the insurance company. You say you got the money right on you.
No. I saw your ad in the paper about a stolen car. I found it parked over on Lenox Avenue and took it up to your house. I just dropped in to thank you for this $100 reward your wife gave me.
Oh, no!
This is Harlow Wilcox again, suggesting that you tune in this CBS radio station each evening, Monday through Friday, for the Amos and Andy Music Hall.
That's right, folks. Every Monday through Friday on this CBS radio station. Thank you and good night.
See you tomorrow night on the Music Hall.
Be sure to be with us at the same time next Sunday for the Amos and Andy Show, transcribed and directed by Cliff Howell. Now stay tuned for Armis Brooks, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.